Our Heavenly Father speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah and says, "Can a mother forget her infant or be without tenderness for the child in her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you." The first emergency call I ever received as a priest, I was down in St. Catherine's Parish in Vallejo. And I get a phone call from a nurse at one of the local hospitals. She says, "Father, there's a Catholic patient here who has very little time left to live, and I'd like to know if you could come and give him last rites." And I said, "Of course, I'll be there as soon as possible." And I make my way over to the hospital. I didn't know at the time, but the man had not requested to see a priest. And no one in his family had asked the hospital to invite a priest to be there. This woman, the nurse, was a devout Catholic woman. And being a Catholic, she thought, okay, the family has listed him as a Catholic patient. Of course he would want to see a priest before he dies. When I got to the hospital, I was escorted to his room, and it was just slightly ajar. And I opened it up. This man, I think he had maybe a couple of days left to live. He was so feeble that he could just hardly lift his head from his pillow to look to see who had entered the room. And as soon as he saw me in my priestly attire, two things happened. First, tears began to stream down his face. Second, a huge smile appeared on his face. The tears never stopped my entire visit, and the smile never went away. When I walked to his bed, he said, "Father, I've been waiting 23 years for this moment. I've begged God over and over that he would send me a priest before I die. And here you are. For 23 years, I've carried something on my soul that I've needed to confess." He never forgets us, not down to the last moment of our lives, giving us grace that we might be saved. A good priest friend of mine, he used to go to Calcutta, India. He was good friends with Mother Teresa, and she would invite him year after year, numerous different occasions, to come in the summer months, and he would go down. He was a seminary professor, so he had the months of the summer off. He would go down there, and he would teach the sisters theology and give them spiritual conferences. And he shared with me one of the stories from his first visit. He said, "You couldn't believe, here's this house of prayerful women who live a profoundly, deeply spiritual life, yet their house is as active as can be. From the first moments of the day, it's busyness." He said, "Every day I would come down for breakfast, and already the house was astir. Sisters going here and there all over the place." So he says, "After 4 or 5 days there, one day I come down, and there's not a sound to be heard." Then I'm making my way to the breakfast room to have something to eat, and I'm thinking, "Gosh, what's going on?" And he says, "So I went, I looked for Mother, and I found her. I said, 'Mother, where are all the sisters?' And she said, 'Oh, Father, they're in the chapel praying.' And he said, 'Well, did something happen?' She said, 'Father, we are out of food. Not only do we not have anything to give to the poor, but we don't have even anything for ourselves. And so the sisters are in the chapel praying, asking God to send us food.'" He says, "Gosh, Mother, that's great, they're all in there praying. Are you doing anything practical? Have you sent out any sisters to the local markets to ask for food?" She said, "No." He said, "Well, do you have any of them on the phone requesting, you know, extra food that might be to be had?" She said, "Father, we never ask anyone for anything except our Heavenly Father. We live totally on divine providence. If God wants us to have food, he will send us food. If not, we will go hungry for a while until he provides for us." The priest thinks to himself, "You know, you can't say this to a living saint. That's a little extreme and illogical, you know." He said it was not 5 minutes before the doorbell rang. He walked with Mother to the door. There is the delivery man with a huge truck full of food. He says, "Mother, you know, something happened. I went to the local market and there was a misorder. I have hundreds of pounds of food. They said you might be in need of it." He said the first time it happened, he thought, "Okay, maybe coincidence." He said that would happen over and over and over again there. Why don't we have faith like Mother Teresa? Why do we worry about what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat and how much money we're going to have and so many other things? Because if we are honest with ourselves, we do not fully trust God. And that's true for every single one of us. And why? Why not? If He provides over and over again. Because we're born with that. Because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, every one of us has this distrust that our whole spiritual life is aimed at overcoming, that we might finally return to a point of total confidence in God. Because what happened in the original sin? What was the sin of Adam and Eve? It was a disobedience. And oftentimes we hear, oh, it was one of pride. Right? They wanted to be like God, to have knowledge of good and evil, and therefore they sinned. Pope John Paul II said something very interesting. He said, if you read sacred scripture, there's something that precedes that sin. It was not first one of pride. He said, what was the tactic that the devil used to trip them up? He comes to Eve and he says, did God really say that to you? That you can't eat of the fruit of the trees? And he responded, well, no, he just said that about one tree. We can eat of any of the other trees, but if we eat of this particular one, we will die. And what did the serpent say? You will not die. God is lying to you. Your eyes will be opened. He called into question, is God really trustworthy? Can you put your confidence in Him? Is He really who He says He is? Pope John Paul said the original sin was one of doubt. They distrusted our Heavenly Father, and therefore they were led into the sin of pride, issuing forth in disobedience. And he says every single one of us carries that distrust. So how do we overcome it? Right, oftentimes people say, well, you know, if I just had God manifest Himself to me like He did for the saints, it'd be easy as possible to believe. Right, if I could just see a few miracles, then I'd put my confidence in Him. I just read a great little spiritual work, and the author comes upon this point and he says, many of us do not believe in divine providence because we've never experienced it. But we've never experienced it because we've never jumped into the void and taken the leap of faith. We never give God the possibility to intervene because we calculate everything. We anticipate everything. We seek to resolve everything by counting on ourselves instead of counting on God. Does God want us to plan? Does He want us to try to take precautions? Does He want us to provide for our kids and so forth? Absolutely. But not in such a way that it's so thorough that we don't leave room for Him. We come to confidence in God by taking leaps of faith. Especially in moments where He calls us to. And we will know those moments if we ask Him to help us to grow in faith. And I close with just one example of what this might look like. There is a sister that I know. She was living in one of the Eastern European countries right at the end of communism, the fall of communism. And in the nation that she was living in, she was just in this tiny little village, but the country was at war, different people trying to gain political power. And she said the consequences for those who lived in little villages was the markets were empty. Because the commerce affected on a national level, they had almost nothing. She knew a family who the father came home one day. There was no food to be had. People were starting to starve. And he comes to his wife and he says, honey, I'm not sure we're going to get through this winter unless we take a very serious measure. He says, we have to slaughter our one milk cow. It was all they had left to eat. He said, but you've got to be extremely careful because this cow has to last us the whole winter. You've got to ration out the portions to make sure it endures. A few weeks go by, and one day the wife comes home and there are neighbors at the door, and she sees her husband giving food to them, some of the meat from the cow. And she thinks, oh my gosh, what is he doing? That's all we have. But she doesn't say anything because they're very close friends, they're neighbors. She thinks, okay, if it happens once, no big deal. A couple days later, here is another family at their door requesting food. He's giving meat to them. She goes up to her husband. She says, "Are you crazy? Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to live on?" He says, "Honey, I know we don't have anything, but neither do they. Don't you think God would want us to share what we do have with them? Everyone else is starving too. We've got to put our trust in Him. If He wants us to survive, He'll give us the grace to do so. He'll provide for us." The sister told me the war lasted 3 years. The meat from that cow never ran out. It fed the entire village. May we put our trust in our Heavenly Father and give Him opportunities to work in our lives. He will not fail us.